Psalms 37:1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. But rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, take your neighbor by the hand, look them right in the eye, and say, hey, if you're troubled, let it go. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight, and the sermon title is simply God's Cure for the Troubled Heart. God's Cure for the Troubled Heart. The psalmist in the 37th division gives us some very good points of things we can use that helps us anytime things ain't going the way we think they ought to. I want you to listen to what he says in Psalms 42, verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude they kept the holy day. I want you to notice something. The psalmist says, I went to church, and I praised the Lord, and I was with the group. I wasn't by myself. But notice his next verse. But what I don't understand, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. For, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites into the hills of Mazar. You know what he said? He said, I went to church. I shouted praises. I got happy. And I went home hurting. Because my soul was disquieted in me. My heart was troubled. I had problems I needed to deal with. And you know what? That's the sad part about some Christians. We're so busy trying to put on a facade, we won't admit when our heart's broken. We won't admit when we got problems. Amen. You know, that's sad, but we're afraid somebody's going to figure we're not a good Christian because we got in all kind of trouble. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm trying to tell you that it's not anything wrong with having problems. Amen. The Bible tells me many are the afflictions of the saints of the Most High God, but then our God will deliver us out of all these afflictions. Amen. He said the same thing that goes against the world is going to come against those that are in church. I don't know why we got preachers that want to make a living telling you if you get in church and live right, you're never going to have a problem. You'll never have trouble. You'll never be sick. Nothing will ever go wrong. I got news for you, honey. That is nothing but a fairy tale that cannot be backed up with scripture. What I can tell you is that God has promised us that even when our soul is disquieted within us, God is going to come and God is going to help us and God is going to be on our side. Could you say amen? I was talking with someone today and they made the statement, I've never seen a miracle. And they said, oh, I don't know. I know, I guess God does miracles, but I've never seen one. Can I tell you, church, I've seen some stuff I couldn't tell you about because you'd go, that guy's crazy. Amen. In the 30-something years of ministry, that God has let me see things that I had to go, wow. I remember one thing in particular happened, and the pastor and I both looked at each other, and another guy saw it. There was three or four of us saw it, and we looked at each other and said, we can't tell nobody. Collectively, they put us all in braces. Amen. But God did it. And if it wasn't for anybody else, it was to let us know, I'm still God. Hello? Amen. Somebody asked me one time, said, you ever seen anybody raised from dead? Yep. Uh-oh. I see y'all right now. They're going, oh, the preacher's off the deep end. Bessemer, Alabama, Inslee, rather, preaching at Truth Deliverance Tabernacle. That was one of them wild revivals. We'd start church about 8. By 10 o'clock, they'd have it going good enough, they'd let me preach at night. They were running vans all week long, bringing people to church. We'd start church with about 30 or 40 folks. By 8 o'clock, there'd be about 50 or 60. By 9 o'clock, a couple 300. By 10 o'clock, when I made the pulpit, that place would be packed with 400 or 500 people, and we'd be throwing down. And we had church all week long. They would go to the altar and pray after church. About 1 o'clock, they'd be going in there for prayer meeting, and I'd be leaving, heading home. One guy driving the van was staying up all night helping the preacher pray for revival. And on Friday night, he comes running out while I'm preaching, sitting on the front row, and bawled the whole time I was preaching. When I got to him, he said, "I want you to forgive me." Said, "I hadn't slept all week. I worked all day and come drove the van. Said, I went to sleep on the couch in the pastor's office and woke up. He's preaching. I'm sorry I missed some of your sermon." I've had people lay out just because they didn't want to come. They wouldn't apologize. Glory. Here's a guy been giving himself out to help the revival and just wore out. Hello? But one night I was up at the church service and I was preaching and I noticed that several people kept going in and out the back. Finally, I got to the altar service, and I'm down there praying with people. And let's face it, church, there's 400 folks that expect me to pray for everybody every night. One night at 1:30, I'm still praying for folks. Because what they'd do is they'd walk up, and the usher would walk up to a row, and he'd say, "Y'all get ready." And I'd get the line down, and he'd send that row down. Then another one send this row down. It was all in order. I looked up to the pastor. I said, "Have I not prayed for everybody?" He said, "Yeah, they're stopping cars out front, telling them the man of God's praying for folks. They're bringing people off the street." So we done had 20 got saved in the sanctuary out there. Come in for you to lay hands on them after they got saved. Glory. I told you it was wild. I'm down there praying that night, and I'm noticing different ones. And finally, the pastor disappeared. So I looked over at one of the associates. I said, "Hey, what's going on?" He said, "Oh, it's something in the back. I don't know, but said it's bad, I think." Well, I took off in the back to see what was going on. I get back there, and there's a young lady laying on the floor. She's not breathing. I know some of you are going to say, "Now, preacher, how do you know?" I'm not easily deceived. To be sure I wasn't getting took, because I am a cautious person, I squatted down beside her on my knee, and I took my hand and pinched her nose, put my hand over her mouth. Any of y'all got any idea what I just did? If she ain't dead, she's finna start fighting me because she can't breathe now. I'm making sure I'm not getting took. I sat there a while. She still ain't moving, and I looked up and I said, "Somebody needs to call an ambulance." This big black lady beside me said, "Child, she's been like that since I found her. We don't need no ambulance. Need to call a coroner if we ain't going to pray." I said, "But we finna pray." And they went to crying out. I done figured out something. If I really get in trouble, I'm going to find me about 4 or 5 good old black ladies that's been praying for years and get them around me and see if we can't have a revival. Amen. They got to praying, and they wasn't sitting there saying, "God, if it's your will." They were saying, "Oh, Lord, put life back in this child." And I'm sitting there praying, and I'll be honest with you, I'm as skeptical as some of y'all are about this story. I'm watching and praying. I got one eye closed, one open, because I'm checking to see what's going on. And I hear somebody speaking in tongues. And I look on the floor, and it's the girl that was dead. And she comes up off the floor and tears out down the hall into the sanctuary. I jumped up and went with her. I made it to the front of the sanctuary. Now, church, there's 400 people in that sanctuary. Ain't none of them knows what's going on in the back. She started down the side of the sanctuary, and every time she passed the row, they went down like dominoes. I watched as she cleared the back of the building, started across, and as she went across, the one on the other side started falling. By the time she made the front corner, they were all on the floor. All 400-something, what, one person standing looking. I mean, I'm standing going, "Wow." And I'm at the top of about 8 steps. And when I come to myself, I was at the bottom of them 8 steps. Because when she went by me, I joined everybody else. Glory. Somebody said, "Wow, preacher, that's a wild story." Might be, but it hadn't been that long ago. I talked to that young lady. Her daddy was pastoring to one of the churches over in Inslee, and she was the clerk of the church, and they were closing the church down. And I had time to spend with her talking to her. She said, "You remember that night?" She said, "I remember vaguely coming out of there and after church walking by you." But she said, "I don't know what happened, but they tell me I was back there for about 15 minutes not breathing, but God got a hold of me." And she said, "Whatever it was, I'm glad it's gone. I am alive and doing well." I got news for you, honey. It doesn't matter what goes on in your life. I got a God that can bring you out. It's time to break the bondage of being worried about what's going on and get a hold of a God that can help us. Could you say amen? Psalms 139. He said, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou hast understanded the thoughts afar off. Thou compassed my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, that thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. So knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? For if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take up the wings of the morning, and I dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me up. For if surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night in the night shall the light shine round about me." What's he saying? He's saying, "God, I know I got trouble sometime, but you know where I am, and you know what's going on, and you got the power to bring me out. And even if it's the darkest hour of midnight, you have the ability to shine the light of your glory in my life and bring me out." In church, it's time some of us realize whatever's going on is not good enough to take me down. Glory. Point one. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for thou shalt soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. You know what David says? He says, "Don't worry about those folks that ain't doing right and are making it." Hello? You ever have that problem? You see everybody, it looks like no matter how good you try, no matter how bad they do, they seem to always make good. Read the book of Habakkuk. He had that same problem. He said, "Oh, Lord, your judgments have failed. I'm preaching against evil, and yet those that are doing evil are doing good." And he said, "It seems like your law has gone slack, and your judgment has failed." Hello? Isaiah, that's in the book of Habakkuk chapter 1 if you want to read it. He said, "God, I don't understand what you're doing, but it don't make sense." And all of a sudden Habakkuk says, "I'm fixing to get a hold of them." Hello? He said, "I'm fixing to lay the law down on them." He said, "I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do." And this is in the Ken Stroop version. That's not the King James. Y'all haven't figured that out. He said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. It's going to blow your mind." That's the fifth verse of the first chapter of Habakkuk in the Ken Stroop version. He said something like, "I'm going to tell you, and you won't believe it, though it be told you." In Buell, that means it's going to blow your mind. And he started telling them about the Babylonian captivity. And you know what he basically said? He said, "Those that are prospering ain't gonna matter. When they become Babylonian slaves, they're all gonna be slaves." You know, when the Babylonians took Israel, the first thing they did was strip everybody's clothes off of them. You say, "Well, preacher, what's that got to do with anything?" In the Middle East, you're known by what kind of clothes you wear. Hello? When I was in Israel, I could Jew people down because I had on bright shirts and I was heavy. Hello? Skinny people with dark clothes ain't getting nothing because they figure you ain't got no money. But if you're wearing bright clothes and you got some meat on you, they figure that's a dude that's got some money and we'll deal with him. And I Jewed people down all day long. And I asked somebody, I asked the guy, and I said, why did they give in to me? He said, they know you can do what you say you're going to do. Little did they know in America, fat people with bright shirts on ain't always rich. Glory. Hello? But the truth of the matter is, that's the way they look. People dress according to their station in life. But when they took their clothes off, they were all the same. So therefore, there was nothing to show this guy's a rich man or that guy's a poor man. You know what it amounts to is their riches meant nothing to them. Their wealth that they had gained meant nothing to them. We sit around worried about somebody getting rich and us not having something. And let's face it, we've got modern day preachers feed that as much as they do not ever getting sick. They tell you if you live right, you ought to be a millionaire. And if you're not a millionaire, you feel like you're not a good Christian. I got news for you. I've known people couldn't pay their self attention that were better Christians and some folks that have more money than you what to do with. Come on, church. So what are you talking about? He said, get your mind off those that are doing wrong and getting well. Just understand, serve the Lord. Fret not thyself over evildoers. Why? Because they're going to be cut like the grass. He said, what are you getting at? He's comparing them to grass because no matter how long you like it, grass dies, gets cut down, it withers away. Amen. I'm kind of glad of that. If it didn't, we'd never control it. Hello? That's good preaching. Some of y'all fretting because I'm preaching long. Amen. Secondly, notice what he said. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. Number one, if you've got a troubled heart, first thing you got to do, quit fretting. Secondly, trust in God. Hello? Oh, preacher, what are you getting at? Listen, the wisest man ever lived, and I'm skipping a verse for a reason, but the wisest man ever lived, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's the wisest man ever lived. So don't trust in your own heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Do what? Trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because he don't change. I might change my mind. I might change something I'm doing, but God will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Could you say amen? Proverbs 28, verse 25 said that he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that put his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. All I got to say, skinny folks, I trust him more than some of y'all. Glory. Hello. Glory. Have to. Amen. Proverbs 29:25. Fear the man that bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know what he just said? He said, you ain't got to sit around all night worried about who's going to shoot you, who's going to rob you. Trust in God and you're safe. There's people on the sound of my voice. You go home tonight, you can't go to sleep because you're worried about what's going to happen while you're asleep. You're afraid something's going to get you in the night. Quit watching them goofy movies, you'll quit worrying about it. I've never understood people that ingest garbage and then think they're going to get something besides garbage out of what they ingest. Come on, church. Watch a good cowboy. You know the guy ain't going to ride through the front door and shoot you after a while. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. Now, I skipped a verse of scripture on purpose. It's one Psalms 118 and 8. Does anybody know what the significance of that verse of scripture is? It's the dead center verse of the entire Bible. There's exactly the same number of verses before and after Psalms 118 and 8. So therefore, Psalms 118 and 8 is the central theme of the entire scripture. And what does it say? Trust not. Our trust in the Lord. Our said it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. Hello? You say, that's cool, preacher, but what good is that? Just tells you what you ought to do. Trust in the Lord. Why? Because if I trust in him, I'm not going to get let down. If I trust in him, I'm going to have victory. Come on, church. Amen. Too many of us are like the fella who hired a guy to walk across Niagara Falls on a rope. Guy approached him, said, I can walk across Niagara Falls on a rope. And the guy says, really? He said, will you support it? We can make money. And the guy got the tenders to run it. He said, yes, sir, we can make a bunch of money off of that. They put it up, got TV to come film it. This actually happened. It was one of them flying Melindas, whoever it was. You know, some of them flew really. They got off the rope and died. But one of them was real good. And he actually walked across the span of Niagara Falls on a rope, pushing a wheelbarrow. No pole, just a wheelbarrow to help hold his balance. He rolled it across, turned it around, rolled it back, crawled down the pole, went over by the guy that was paying for it, said, you believe I can do it? He said, yes, sir, I believe you can do it. I seen it. He said, watch this. He went up, walked back across, and came back. Come back down, looked at that guy and said, man, you believe I can do it? He said, yeah, I believe you can do it. He said, good, then go get in the wheelbarrow and let's go to the other side. See, it's one thing to believe. It's another to trust enough to follow your belief. Now, that guy never got in the wheelbarrow because all he did was believe. And we got folks in the church that you've never been in the wheelbarrow. You've never been out of the boat. You've never had something happen that just made you trust God and let go. You're too busy hanging on to the rope, tying knots in the bottom of it, afraid you're going to fall when you ought to let go of the rope and just trust God. That God's, oh, come on, church, that's good preaching. Amen. Glory. Point three. Verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Isaiah 58:14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high place of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know what he said? He said, if you'll just get delighted and happy in God, you'll have it made. Hallelujah. Praise God. You say, well, preacher, that's just hard to do. No, because the Bible said, happy are the people who are in such a case. Yea, happy are the people whose God is Lord. Church, if we'll get happy about the God we serve, we can get other people to get happy about serving him. Come on, church. Amen. We walk around looking like we've been eating persimmons all day long, trying to talk anybody to getting into church. Amen. We're like the young man went to church and is having testimony service. Y'all know testimony service. 9 times out of 10 turns into a prayer meeting. Not that you're up here praying, you're just making requests. I tell you, I've been living for God 25 years and it gets harder and harder. Y'all remember them great, wonderful testimonies, isn't it? Well, I tell you, the devil's been on me all day long. We used to think if the devil got on you, it meant you was living right. Then I discovered in Scripture that if the devil got on you and stayed, it's because you wasn't man enough to throw him off. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. We used to brag about the devil wearing us out so folks would think we're spiritual. Then I found out if he's really spiritual, the devil wouldn't be wearing you out. You'd be wearing him out. Glory. You get up in the morning. I've been on the devil all day long. He ain't had a minute's peace. Come on, church. You say, now, preacher, that's not scriptural. You better read the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, the 20th verse. It said, I shall put Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. You know what God said? Said, you get up in the morning, it don't take me long to get him under you. The problem's keeping you on top. Amen. If you'll just get up there, you can dance a jig on his head all day long and enjoy yourself every step of the way. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I don't know about you, but I would much rather be bouncing on his head than having him bouncing on mine. Well, that's not biblical. That's exactly what Genesis 3 says. I shall put enmity between thee and between the seed of a woman, and his heel shall bruise thy head. Woo. You ought to get up in the morning, get out of your prayer closet, close your Bible down, walk out the door and say, Satan, eat my dust. Glory. I'm wearing you out all day long. I guarantee after a while he'll leave your house. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. So the preacher's crazy. Might be, but I don't spend all my time worrying about what he's doing. Glory. I like to think he's worrying about me. Come on, church. I was thinking about the other day, my wife's got a tape of mine somewhere, and I need to get it. It's a cassette tape of a guy from Hartsel. It's a friend of mine that used to come down and preach and sing for us contemporary gospel. I can't even think of his name now. He had the church, the fireplace in Hartsel. And he'd come down. He actually come to our church two or three times and sung for us. He had a song called Warrior for the Lord. And in that song, it said, my alarm clock ring and the demon scream, my God, he's up again. I want that to be me. I want to be so on fire for God, the demons are up there going, rockabye, baby. Don't wake him up. As long as he's asleep, we don't have to worry about him. He wakes up, we're in trouble. Because you don't know what he's going to do to us. Come on, church. See, some of y'all sitting around, I can't go to sleep, but don't tell what the devil's going to do. You ought to reverse that meal. Come on, church. Oh, that's good stuff. Now, number four is probably one going to mess some of you up, but it's important if you're really going to get rid of the troubles of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know what he said? He said, if you get committed to God, God will commit to you. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? Yes, I do. I believe if you follow God, amen, hide the word of God in your heart. What's going to happen? It'll be a light under your path that you might not sin against him. Amen. Those that keep his commandments, commit yourself to what he said. Do you live that way? I got a God that'll take care of you. He'll clear paths in the desert. He'll put rivers in a dry place. He'll send you a shadow of a great rock when the weather's getting bad. Amen. If you'll make a commitment to God, when you get in a boat, if a storm comes, he'll tell that wind, lay down, and he'll tell the waves, quit hitting the boat, because they're mine and I'm taking care of them. As long as I'm where I need to be, I'm committed to God. God will take care of it and make it come to pass. Could you say amen? Glory. But I like that last one. He said in the seventh verse, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Amen. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? You got to learn how to just rest in God. Let God have it. For the battle is not yours, saith the Lord. Some of y'all get up every morning chasing demons around your house and fighting. Oh, I've been running demons all day long. I don't. I just get up in the morning and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that love him and keep his commandments. Can I tell you, when you really got God on your side, you just lay down, go to sleep, and say, hey, all right. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. They're in a boat. In case you believe you got to be out of the will of God to have a storm, he said, launch out, go to the other side. They're going where he told them to go, doing what he told them to do, and they hit a storm. He's in the boat with them. He's sound asleep in the back, and they can't rest because of the storm. Some of y'all can't rest because of the storm. Come on, church. I know what it's like. There are times I go home, and I might as well hang it up. I can lay in that bed if I want to all night long. I'm not going to go to sleep. And so 9 times out of 10, I will end up in the living room or back at the computer and doing something, trying to find something to do to wear myself out so I can go to sleep. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it don't. I understand when things are on your brain and you can't get them off. They're in a boat. It's getting full of water. One of them says, look, we're fishing to drown. Somebody better wake the dude up. Glory. And Peter, being the spokesman of the bunch, goes back and said, hey, wake up, we're drowning. Now he's in the boat, sound asleep. The water's around him. Y'all ever thought about this? You asleep when you lay down in a boat in water. Any of you ever woke up in water? I have. We used to have a water bed, and I sound asleep, and all of a sudden I woke up one day, and I'm laying in water, and it's like, whoa. You can't sleep in water because the water wasn't in the bed anymore. It had a leak. The bed kind of went down, and I was now in the water. Glory. I realized when I woke up because I was suddenly in water, and you can't sleep in water. Jesus is so tired, he's gone to sleep. He's so tired, he's going to sleep. Glory. Hallelujah. And about that time, Peter said, wake up. Don't you know we're drowning? Do y'all understand? Have y'all read that scripture? Do you realize that the first thing you rebuked had nothing to do with the wind or the rain? He got up and said, oh, ye of little faith. You know what he said? You should have laid down and went to sleep. Church, some of you ought to lay down and go to sleep. Quit worrying about what's going on. Quit breaking yourself up over it. Why? Because God is on your side. Listen to what the Bible tells me in Matthew. Jesus made this statement, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden. And what's going to happen? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What did he say? He said, if you're going to make it, fret not. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thyself to the Lord and rest. And God said, I'll heal the troubled heart. I'll give you peace that passes all understanding. I'll give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Stand with me all over the house. Hallelujah. God's cure for a troubled heart. I'm going to tell you something, church. I seek God for everything I preach to you. But there are times I walk in here and I know specifically that I have a message that is headed straight at somebody in the service. The sermon I was going to preach is laying on my desk. Because this afternoon about 4 o'clock, I was sitting there and I was fumbling with my computer and I was actually looking for something for that sermon. And I run across Psalms 37 and God said, this is your sermon. There'll be people tonight who are troubled about things in their life who need to hear how to handle it. We're living in troubled times. We're living in problem times. The Bible said in the last day, saith God, troubled times or perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, incontinent, out of control is what that means. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We're living in that day. And for that reason, we're troubled on every hand. But we've got a God that said, if you'll learn to trust me, quit worrying. I can take care of it. And I'm talking to somebody in this building tonight because God didn't put this in my heart and make me fly through all this to put it together to give to you and you not be here. Somebody tonight needs to understand God saying, let it go. Trust in me. Let it go. Father, we love you tonight. We ask you, God, to reach down and touch, minister to us, Father, with your glory. Lord, as we open our heart to you, pour your love into us tonight. God, I believe you now. Lord, that your power, your grace is sufficient. Touch us with your glory. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.